Thanks, Jen. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Adrian. It is great to see you here today, and it is great that we get to hear from God's amazing word and to celebrate Easter together. But have you noticed that so many things in life, once you do them, you just have to do them again? You notice that, like your tax returns every year, or tidying the house. An hour and a half later, you have to do it all over again. Servicing the car again and again, cleaning out the gutters, going to the gym. Imagine if you could just do exercise as a one-off and that was it for the rest of your life. How amazing would that be? Or in summer, you mow the lawn and later that afternoon, it needs another trim. You know, that those things you do and then you think, man, I've got to do it again. You just keep doing it over and over again. You have your kid's hair cut and 2 days later, they look scruffy. Even big things like renovating your home. Or buying new furniture, or painting. You done that? It doesn't last though, does it? It gets smudged, it gets scratched, it gets dirty. A few years later, you feel like, man, we're back where we started. We've got to go through it all over again. You can't just do it once. You've got to keep doing it again and again and again. And maybe that's how you think church works. Maybe you think you need to keep going again and again and again to church to try and make God happy. Maybe you're here today because it's been 12 months since your last dose of churchiness. You feel like it's maybe time to touch base and do your yearly thing. Maybe you're here because you think this is something you have to do again and again and again, although not that often, in order to get right with God. Well, today we gather to remember and thank God, not for something that has to keep on happening, but we keep meeting to remember what happened on that first Good Friday. Today we're here because of something that happened nearly 2,000 years ago, but its effect is just as real, just as true, and just as glorious today as it was back then. Today we rejoice and we are free because God's love has been demonstrated once and for all in Jesus dying on the cross. Our rescue, our freedom, has been won once and for all. All the wrong things that we've done, the fact that we haven't treated God rightly, all our guilt, once and for all dealt with. The price has been paid for us to enter heaven and have eternal life once and for all. That's what our passage from the Bible is telling us today. I'm really going to look at just one verse. In fact, it's half a verse. Verse 18, Christ suffered for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. Now, Easter is about the suffering of Jesus Christ. And we know this, don't we? He suffered so many things. He suffered the rejection of his people who scorned him, mocked him, begged for him to be crucified. He suffered the mockery of the religious leaders who said they loved God, but when the Son of God came into the world, they tossed him aside. He even suffered the abandonment of his own disciples, his own friends who said, "We're with you to the end, Jesus. We love you. We follow you." And the moment things got slightly tough, chunk, they were gone. And then Jesus suffered physically as he was beaten and flogged and whipped. A sharp and painful crown of thorns was shoved on his head. He had to drag a heavy wooden cross up the hill in shame. And Jesus suffered death in the most painful of ways. Why? Why did Jesus have to suffer? What is his suffering about? Well, our verse today tells us that the purpose of Christ's suffering and the power of Christ's suffering because of the people for whom Christ suffered and the promise that comes with it is all contained in this one verse. Christ suffered for sins. His suffering had a purpose. His death has a meaning. There's a reason Jesus allowed himself, the powerful one who can control the weather and calm storms, can raise the dead and heal the sick, he allowed himself to be arrested and mistreated. He handed himself over to be treated like a criminal. Jesus had said earlier in his ministry, "I lay down my life, no one takes it from me." But Jesus suffered for something. He suffered for sins. Now, some people sin by aggressively defying God and declaring God he doesn't exist and hating everything about him. Other people sin by just not listening to God and just quietly pretending he isn't there, and he doesn't rule us, and we don't owe him anything, and we just get on with our own life. Either way, every human sins. Every human falls short of God's standards. We all lie. We're all selfish and self-centered. We all take what isn't ours, and we fail to live with God as God. The Bible says suffering and death is in the world because of that sinful decision that we've all made. Suffering entered the world the moment we defied God and went our own way. But here's the thing, our verse today tells us Christ suffered for sins. And there's two reasons that that should surprise us. The first is because Christ is actually Jesus' title. It means King, the Chosen One, the Anointed One. Why is he suffering on the cross? And secondly, Jesus never sinned. He's perfect. Why is he suffering for sin? There are two reasons that we're going to look at in this talk. But Christ is the royal title that Jesus carries. It's a little bit like the term king. Jesus the king, Jesus Christ is what it means. Queen Elizabeth II is called Her Royal Majesty. Prince William, His Royal Highness. When he becomes king, he'll be His Royal Majesty. It's a title that says something very special. It says authority and majesty and royalty. So hear this verse. His Majesty suffered for sins once and for all. His Royal Highness died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's the magnitude of what Jesus has done. He's the King, the ruler, the special one, the chosen one, and they weren't His sins. Christ sacrificed Himself and gave up His life, gave up His body and His blood, sacrificed Himself for our wrongdoing and for what we had done to Him. He then took even more. That is His sacrifice. There are many moments in movies of sacrifice, aren't there? You know, maybe you've seen Armageddon, where you've got Bruce Willis, who arranges that he gets to stay on the asteroid. He detonates the nuclear bomb. He loses his life, but he saves the whole planet. Or maybe in Titanic, where Jack selflessly lets Rose stay on that piece of wood that could easily fit three or four people. There's that moment in pretty much every action movie ever where a character, a side character who'd been annoying or useless earlier in the movie, then volunteers to stay behind as the hordes of bad guys or aliens or invaders are coming. And he stays behind, lets off some grenades, and he dies and takes them out, and he redeems himself. Sacrifice. Or there's Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars, who sacrifices himself to achieve. What does he achieve? He achieves nothing. It was useless. Or the amazing movie Inside Out. Bing Bong sacrifices himself for Joy, to get her out of the memory dump, at which point you have grown men crying over the sacrifice of an imaginary character in a cartoon. I've heard that's what happened anyway. Sacrifice. Giving up your life. It's a powerful symbolic act, isn't it? But today we're here to remember a sacrifice that's on a completely different scale. This is a sacrifice that saves us from death and hell. It's the sacrifice that brings sinners to God. And it's so powerful, this sacrifice. It's once and for all. Because it's the sacrifice of Jesus, who is not only the Christ, He's not only the King, the Chosen One, He is God Himself. That's why His death is once and for all. And so this is the second point in the outline in that news sheet. The power of Christ's suffering is that it happens once and it never has to happen again. It's complete, it's sufficient, it's enough. His suffering is what we need to be saved. His suffering is everything we need to be saved, because the price for our guilt was paid on the cross. The price of His suffering and His blood, the precious blood of Jesus, is the price. It's such an infinite, valuable worth. We don't need to top that up. We don't need to add anything to that. In fact, we can't add anything to it. It's perfection. So here's the thing. Jesus suffered once and for all. There's no use-by date to Jesus' love. It doesn't fade over time. He doesn't need to be reminded. Oh, that's right. Yes, I do love these people. There's no running out of God's mercy as if we need to keep it fresh. And we don't have to pay God for this. It is a gift. We have no debt to repay to God. It's free. There are no more sacrifices, no more ceremonies, no more rituals required. What needed to be done to deal with my sins has completely been done. I'm not sure if you've ever really stuffed up badly in an important relationship. You know, made a real mess of things. Have you experienced that? And you need to be forgiven. And you're desperate to be forgiven. But what you have to do is you've got to keep working at regaining that person's trust. Bit by bit, you need time to win them over. You've got to try and keep rebuilding things and keep fixing things and keep changing things. And it takes time and it's stretched out and it's hard work. It is not like that with us and God. We've stuffed up. We've made an eternal mess of our souls. And yet God, in one moment, in one selfless act, makes everything right forever. So if you come to Jesus today and you put your trust in Him, then all your past, all your failure, all your sin is dealt with completely, once and for all. And you are loved completely, once and for all. That is the power of Jesus' suffering. And this suffering has eternal effect because His suffering was the righteous one for the unrighteous. See, this is interesting. It wasn't just sins that God is angry at. It's sinners. It isn't just sins that Jesus died for, it is sinners. The righteous one suffered and died for the unrighteous. The Savior died for sinners. The innocent one was killed for the guilty. And a way to understand this is to imagine this is you. And God is, say, the ceiling. And when God makes us, there's nothing standing between us and Him. That He loves us, we love Him. But suppose, say, this book contains a record of every sin that you've ever committed. Every sin you're committing now and you think you're getting away with. Every sin you're going to commit in the future, there is that record of sin. It contains of the sins we've done accidentally, we didn't even know we did them. The ways we've offended God and our deliberate sins as well. In effect, this book is a record of your past, present, future, accidental, deliberate, known and unknown sins. It's all there. And so now between me and God is my sin. And God, the Bible teaches, that God is holy and God is pure and God is just. He's not going to ignore my sin and go, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter, do whatever you like. He doesn't turn a blind eye. He doesn't overlook it. God rightly punishes sin. And Jesus Himself very clearly teaches that the punishment for sin is death and judgment after that in hell. The barrier between me and God is my sin and God's just anger. What can I do? But here is Jesus. Here is the righteous one. The perfect one, and nothing stands between Him and God. He has no sin, not even any slight imperfection, not even accidental sins where didn't even realize. He is blameless and righteous in every way, and so God has for Him nothing but love and adoration. And when it says Christ suffered the righteous for the unrighteous, it means on the cross, all my sin and all my punishment was placed on Jesus. The righteous one suffered for the unrighteous. That's why Jesus died. That's why we call it Good Friday, because the cross demonstrates God's pure love for us, even while we were sinners, even while we were his enemies. And you see this in that profound moment on the cross, where Jesus has been nailed to this piece of wood. He's been rejected and abandoned, and everyone has left it, and is suffering God's wrath because of what I did. And what does Jesus say? What is his prayer? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. There's the love of God, that we would treat his son like that, and he would respond with love. So we've seen the purpose of Christ's suffering to deal with sin. We've seen the power of Christ's suffering. It's once and for all. We've seen the people of Christ's suffering. He dies for us, the unrighteous. And now we finish with the promise of Christ's suffering, that he might bring you to God. You might feel like you're a stranger to God. Christ died to make us friends with God forever. You might feel like you could never deserve God's forgiveness. You could never be good enough for God's love. Christ is good enough, and he has suffered for us so that we can come to God. You might be thinking, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know how. Christ suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So my invitation to you today, God's call to you today, our urgent encouragement and plea to you today, is to put your trust in Jesus, who demonstrates this love perfectly. He'll bring you to God. That's his promise, guaranteed in his blood. It's the promise of reconciliation, because now between me and God, there is nothing in the way. There is no fear as we come to God. There's no doubt. Nothing stands between us and God because of Jesus. Let me invite you today to become a Christian, to come to God. See, coming to God through Jesus means forgiveness, means love, it means eternal, everlasting hope. Coming to God through Jesus means change and the transformation of your life. You've been set free. So I want to invite us to accept this amazing love of Jesus. Inside the new sheet that you would have received, if everyone could take that out, in the top right-hand corner in a box there is a prayer. I'm going to lead us in this prayer, and I want you to pray it too. I want you to ask God, just in the quietness of your own mind, ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for his love. Acknowledge Jesus and his perfect, glorious, once for all death will take care of everything. Let me lead us in this prayer, and I invite you to pray it to God just quietly in your mind. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would love to speak to you. So I'm going to hang around after church, and please come up and talk to me. Maybe you want to write it on the connection card. There isn't, you know, I want to become a Christian, or I have, or indicate it there. But if you prayed that prayer, know that once and for all, you are loved. Once And for eternity, you are forgiven and you have eternal life.